Are you an accredited investor looking for a new opportunity to generate passive income and build the retirement of your dreams? Then elevate your investment game with Viking Capital, where wealth meets wisdom. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just starting out, Viking Capital can help guide you towards financial freedom through passive real estate investing. With strong and transparent underwriting, Viking identifies low-risk opportunities with the goal of preserving investor capital and maximizing long-term growth potential. And their accessible and responsive investor relations team will help you understand how each investment will impact your unique financial goals. With $800 million in assets acquired, more than $230 million in equity raised, and more than 5,000 units under management, Viking Capital is your path to early retirement. To learn about Viking Capital's latest investment opportunity, which is available for you right now, visit go.vikingcapllc.com/best. That's go.vikingcapllc.com/best to get started today. Did you know that within a decade, women will hold $30 trillion in investable assets? Yet somehow, only 19% of women reported feeling confident in selecting investments that align with their long-term goals. Our friends at InvestHer are out to change that. InvestHerCon is the number one premier conference for women in real estate, and it's happening June 2nd through the 4th in Austin, Texas. InvestHerCon is not just another real estate conference. It's a transformational experience focused on real estate investing, business strategies, and self-care tactics, all designed to help women take control of their financial futures. Gain the knowledge and skills you need to grow your portfolio and build a sustainable business, all while connecting with over 500 women who are playing at the same level. To learn more and to get your tickets, visit InvestHerCon.com today and use the code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket. That's InvestHer, HERCon.com, promo code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket.
I would definitely double close when you're dealing with bigger profits, and there's more risk that could happen. Something could go wrong where they decide they don't want to sign or something.
Best ever listeners, do you want to make more money on your real estate projects? Well, I'm guessing that I'm hearing you say, oh yeah, baby. Well, guess what, my friends? Today's best ever sponsor, Fund That Flip, is working with, well, one of our previous best ever guests who has the most one of the most popular episodes, Jay Scott. If you aren't familiar with this episode, then go check that out, episode 217. If you are, because you're a loyal best ever listener, then you know that he knows how the heck to both analyze deals, especially flips, how to optimize the profits on those flips, and how to look at the market. Because of that, Fund That Flip, today's sponsor, has worked with him and put together a guide that is the 7 tips to increase your real estate profits in today's market. Go check that out. Go get that guide. I've read through it myself. I've learned a lot of things from it, from how to analyze the market cycles as well as how to optimize profits and not lose money or mitigate your risk for losing money on your deals. Go check it out. fundthatflip.com/best ever. That's fundthatflip.com/best ever. You're going to learn the tools to better understand your local market and position your business for success. You're going to know how to analyze the real estate cycle and how to use short-term investing to capitalize on the market cycle, and 7 concrete actionable tips to make more money on your deals. fundthatflip.com/best ever. Best ever listeners, hello, welcome, how you doing? Welcome to the Best Real Estate Investing Advice Ever Show. I'm Joe Fairless. This is the world's longest running daily real estate investing podcast. We've spoken to Barbara Corcoran from Shark Tank, Robert Kiyosaki, the author Rich Dad Poor Dad, and many others. With us today, we have someone who is incredibly active in the Phoenix, Arizona market. He is the CEO and Director of Sales and Marketing at Spencer's Investing, and his specialty is acquisition, and he with experience in rehabs and wholesale deals. So we're going to talk all about his experience. And in fact, he's bought and sold over 500 properties in the Phoenix area. First, how you doing, Will? Nice to have you on the show.
Oh, well, thank you, Joe. I really appreciate being on the show, and I'm doing great. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, my friend, and excited to dive into this. Will, can you give the best ever listeners a little bit more about your background and what you're focused on now?
Sure, absolutely. I started out when I was 18 years old getting into real estate, and I've kind of been working my way doing wholesale all these years, and I've just recently been getting heavy into the remodeling side. So I've ventured over to the fix and flip side, and I've done several hundred wholesale deals, and it's been getting bigger and bigger and just constantly growing and doing more and more. So I'm really happy about that. I've met a lot of cool people in the business, and it's an exciting and fun business. And I'm happy to share anything and all my experiences with you and the best ever listeners.
Well, thank you. I'm certainly glad. I know the best ever listeners are as well, because I'm really curious. You started doing wholesaling. Now you ventured over to fix and flip. Whenever I look at it objectively, wholesaling versus fix and flipping, I think wholesaling is more profitable, and then you also mitigate a lot of your risk. But that's coming from someone who has never done a wholesale deal and has never done a fix and flip. It's just based on, you know, the interviews I've conducted and people I've spoken to. So why did you go from wholesaling to fix and flipping?
Well, I think one of the biggest setbacks for people going into fix and flipping is they don't have the funds. And right, wholesaling is less risky. But I mean, I've done so many deals where I've passed these wholesale deals off to these end buyers and my investors. It got to a point where, you know, I wanted to be on the receiving end of making the big money, not just a small wholesale profit. And so it's to a point now where I can cherry pick the best deals, and I still do wholesale as well. And, you know, obviously if the deal is a sweet killer deal, I'm going to want to take it down myself, because that's where big risk, big reward. So, but you can structure wholesaling certain ways to where you have absolutely no risk. And I'd be happy to talk about that too.
Yeah, let's talk. Please do. Let's continue on that.
Okay. Well, as far as a typical wholesale deal, I always talk about the no money, no credit. It's absolutely right. It's not just, you know, all the talk that you hear from the gurus and whatnot, but you can do wholesaling with no money down, no risk. And as long as you structure it correctly with the homeowner, you can have an inspection period. We utilize that a lot, where we have 10, 15, 20-day inspection period. And it allows us to market the property. And if we don't find a buyer by then we have an out with our inspection. So it's really just about going how you structure it, how you go about it. And if you can get it at the right numbers to where you can move it, then sometimes we don't even do an inspection. We can just get it under contract and then line up a buyer the next day. So it can be as easy as that sometimes.
When you have the property under contract, what are your specific steps that you take from property under contract to closing on the deal?
The first step I would take is, if it's going to be a wholesale deal, my first step is I have a pretty big buyer's list, and I have maybe 100 or so that I call my go-to contacts, and I can call any one of these and all of them will buy a deal if it's at the right numbers. And what I like to do is I get it under contract. I immediately go to this go-to list and I start making my phone calls, and I call them up and I say, hey, I just picked one up today. You're the first one I'm calling. I want to give you exclusive first access to it. Let me know in the next hour if you want it. And if not, I'm going to call 20 other people. So I've been able to sell a lot of properties that way, because I feel it's more personable when you call them directly and say, hey, I'm bringing you personally a deal, versus just sending it out to the masses.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, everyone kind of just chomping at the bit to find out if it's still available and whatnot. And that's probably my first step, is just to make my rounds through my phone calls. And then if I can't sell through that, then I'll put it out to the list. I have a buyer's list close to 15,000 email contacts, And then if I don't sell it with that list, then it's probably I got it the wrong numbers, you know.
Mm-hmm. Are you only doing deals in Phoenix?
Yeah, mostly Phoenix and Maricopa. I've only done one deal out of state, and that just happened to be from a connection here in Phoenix. And so that's kind of my bread and butter right here in the valley.
Mm-hmm. You're making a call to someone on your 100 or so top go-to contacts, and you're giving them an hour. So that means that you're going to have to, let's say you call them at 10 a.m., you say, hey, I got this deal. Call me back by 11 a.m. if you're interested. Well, does that mean that you don't call the second person until 11 a.m. comes?
No, I mean, what that mainly means is that I'm just kind of putting the pressure on them to let them know, like, hey, I'm giving you first access to look at this, but at the same time, I have a bunch of other people I'm going to call too, and I can usually get a feel for it over the phone. They might even tell me, like, oh, okay, hold it for me. I'm going to go drive it right now, and I'll let you know within 30 minutes. So I tell them I picked something up, and here, take a look at it, let me know. And if they come back and say that, you know, they'd rather pass on it, then, you know, I obviously just start calling all the other people. But I usually get a feel for it over the phone, and, you know, I can kind of tell if it's something that they want, or maybe even though they are my go-to guys, maybe it's not specifically what they're looking for. Maybe they're looking for a different area or a different price range. So I like to keep it kind of personable, because when you're calling one by one, it keeps you kind of connected with them. And you can also find out, oh, this isn't something you're interested in. Okay, well, what are you looking for? And then you can take mental notes so that you know who to call when you do have a specific deal type of thing.
Do you keep track of that in any written format or electronic format?
I have my entire buyers list, just an email Excel sheet that I have through my email marketing. And then for my 100 go-to guys, I do have specifics, I would say, for probably 50 of them. And, you know, like it'll have like little notes underneath, like this one's only looking for 3.2s in North Phoenix. This one's looking for rentals with double-digit cap. So that kind of helps me, because I don't call every single one when I have a deal. I'll just try to pick out the ones that I think that will want it, and then I'll let them know that, you know, you have a short amount of time to let me know if you want it or not, and I'll make some other calls.
Did your 100 go-to contacts come from the list of 15,000 that you have, and they were just the ones that are more active, or did you come across them separately?
I would say they came from the list, and they're just people that I've known in the business that have been doing this, and I've sold them several deals. So it just kind of came from networking, knowing who's the big players in the market, who's the ones that are actively purchasing every single month. Another thing, too, is I know a lot of investors can come into the game and then they get out of it. So I really made it a point to continually keep adding to it and just never stop and stay consistent, just continually add. And you know, I've never really stayed stagnant with it. You know, I've been building it since 2008. So that's going on 8 years that I've been continually building every single year, adding new people.
Where do they come from, the people that you're adding to it?
I have a special niche that wouldn't be probably really useful for your listeners, and it's come from LinkedIn. It's really as simple as just going through the search, and you can type in Phoenix real estate investor, and boom, you're going to get hundreds of contacts that pop up. And you can go ahead and add all of them so you can grow your network. And then what you can do is LinkedIn has this system where you can click on your contacts, click on, I believe it's the settings button, and then all your contacts will show up. And then there's a little button to the right, the top right corner, that says export contacts. And when you click that, you suddenly get an email with an Excel sheet of all the emails from every one of your contacts. And I probably only have, I don't know, 4,000 or 5,000 contacts on there, so that's helped get me a lot of contacts. But I've also been doing it the old-fashioned way, networking. I used to do what they call ghost ads back in the day on Craigslist, where I would post an ad for a property and then get a bunch of investors emailing you on it. And you just say, oh, I'm sorry, this one's no longer available. Let me take down your info and I'll give you more deals in the future. I haven't really done that too much anymore just because I feel like Craigslist is a lot of spam. I remember people doing that. But back in the day, before they had the Craigslist at Craigslist.com email, they would actually have their real email. So that was a good method too. And just a lot of networking. Every time I'm out and meeting new people in the business, I always make a mental note to get their contact info.
I love the LinkedIn tip. I do that myself. What I don't do, I'm curious to hear the feedback that you've gotten from it. I don't put those contacts in a list because they haven't opted in. So have you been blacklisted on any email servers, or have you gotten some hate emails because you're sending an email to people who didn't opt in?
No, I haven't gotten any blacklist. What I initially did was I made it a note to just add only real estate investors and developers and just anyone that would be in the game in real estate in Phoenix. And that's how I converted thousands of contacts over. And now my LinkedIn network is so big, I probably have people that aren't even in real estate that are my friends on there. Mm-hmm. So I haven't done it with like all the new contacts, but my philosophy is like, okay, well, if you're not interested, then feel free to unsubscribe or let me know and I'll gladly take you off my list. I haven't really had any sort of people saying like, take me off your list. It's usually, if it is someone, it'll just be like, hey, can you unsubscribe me, or just things like that. And I usually am pretty courteous and let them know, yeah, I'll take you off my list. So I haven't had any problems with that. And when I upload the list to my email marketing, like my campaign, they call it, where you can add all your contacts into it, I just let them know, like, hey, this came from my network on LinkedIn. And I've never had them come back and say, well, did they opt in or didn't they? So that's never been a problem either. Hmm.
What email service do you use?
Mad Mimi.
Mad Mimi?
Yep.
M-A-D-M-E-M-E?
M-A-D-M-I-M-I. I've used Constant Contact. I've used iContact. And I feel Mad Mimi provides the best service. They're on top of everything. I feel like I'm getting a little bit better open ratio than I was with some of the bigger companies. And it's also a little bit cheaper. So that's always a nice benefit too.
Hmm. How much is it?
I believe I'm paying $59 a month on it, and that's for the 15,000 subscriber count. I'll have to double check, but I think it goes $43 for under 10,000, $59 for under 15,000, and then I think it's in the 80s for like 20,000 and under. Where a lot of these bigger companies like Constant Contact, I know they're probably going to be close to $100 for 15,000 and less.
Yeah, that's a great price for it, especially if you're happy with the results. I'll have to check them out. How much on average do you make on a deal when you wholesale?
I would say that I would shoot between 5,000 and 10,000 is just the standard wholesale deal. But I have built a lot of connections where I'll have people come to me with a deal and say, hey, can you help me sell it? Because they now have a pretty strong list. And deals like that, you know, you might clear $1,500 or $2,500. So to me, it's awesome because I'm taking someone else's deal that I didn't have to really work for. And all I have to do is just send out an email and I could split their profit or I could make a little on top of it. So that's really cool.
Do you send the email or do you make the phone calls first?
I'll go through the whole step one, step two. Like I said earlier, I'll do the phone calls. In that case, I might call up one of my investors that fits the criteria and say, hey, investor friend of mine picked this up. I just wanted to run it by you. I don't know if you've already seen it or not, but here it is, type of thing. Mm-hmm. And I usually don't like taking other people's deals and like marking up on top of it. I know a lot of newbie wholesalers can do that where they will just take someone's deal, sometimes without even asking, put $5,000 on top of the price, and then just immediately send it out to their list. And I feel like sometimes that might leave a bad taste in some of the buyers' mouths, you know. And plus, it can kind of lead to a reputation of this guy never has his own deal type of thing.
How do they actually close the deal if they do it without the original wholesaler knowing, because the original wholesaler has it on the contract and they don't?
Yeah, and technically, I don't even think that they're allowed to do that, because you have to have some sort of equitable interest in order to market it. But what they would do, and I've seen it done before, where they would just, if one of their buyers happens to buy it on it, they would contact the original poster of it and say, hey, I have a buyer for it. He wants it at this price. I know you were selling at this price, so that'll be my profit on top. And it'll work like that. But I've always been one to, I wanted to build a reputation with my buyers that when I send something out, I want them to know that with Spencer's Investing, I'm direct on the deal. So it's going to be a good deal, because I don't want to really send out, just spam them with deals that aren't that great. I only want quality deals, and I would like to be direct on them. And if I'm not direct on them, then I'll make sure that it's the same price that the other wholesaler has it as, and I'm getting cut in on his profit type of thing.
Do you double close, or do you have a philosophy on showing the end buyer what your fee is to wholesale it?
I would prefer to double close. I think when you're getting up in the 10,000 range and more, definitely you will want to double close. And I think it's just bad on all sides around to let everyone know that what you're making. When you're only making 5,000 and under, definitely assign it, because that's really not that much. It's the same as a realtor would make if he were to sell it. But there's been deals where there's 20 grand or more being cleared as a profit, and that might be a slap in the face to a seller where you just grilled them down on price. So I would definitely double close when you're dealing with bigger profits, and there's more risk that could happen. Something could go wrong where they decide they don't want to sign or something. I've had some instances where that's happened, where everything was perfect, everything was ready to go, and then they just decide last minute, I'm not signing. So it just kills the entire deal. So it's best to just keep all sides separate, unless you're dealing with just a couple grand or 5 grand and under, I'd say.
And if you do a double close, how do you finance it?
Well, if you do a double close, if you have a buyer lined up already, you don't have to come into the deal with any money. They just do a simultaneous close from the first leg to the second. And so I know there are some hard money companies that will do like a bridge loan where they'll just finance it real quick and then you can close it out later that day or the next day. But most double closes I've done have always been just a simultaneous close with the other buyer lined up. You have your A and B contract with the seller, and then you have your B and C contract with the buyer. So from the seller's end, it looks like you're buying it because they're signing the papers with Spencer's Investing as the buyer, and then with the buyer, they're signing papers with Spencer's Investing as the seller. So it just looks like you're in the middle and they can't see the other side.
Yeah, some states you can't do that, and that's where the transactional funding comes into play. In Arizona, it sounds like that's not the case. Do you have to pay capital gains taxes on that one?
Yeah, you do. It's just the standard capital gains thing with if you were to flip it in 2 months.
Okay, so that's like usually around 25%, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, got it. Well, what is your best real estate investing advice ever?
My best investing advice would be to get around people that are doing what you want to do and just learn as much as you can from them. Just finding mentors that are willing to teach you and coach you. I've always been a big believer in be willing to work for free in order to learn and gain knowledge. And so I've gotten behind some people that have been really, really helpful. I've learned a lot from a lot of different people, and I've just learned as much as I could. I've went plenty of time where I didn't really make much money. I could have made more, but I did it for the learning experience, and all of that has paid off in dividends, you know, throughout the years.
Have you paid? You said to be willing to work for free, and you have. Have you paid someone to consult you?
No, I haven't, but I have kind of worked for free on numerous occasions where I've didn't really make any money, but I still was involved in a lot of things. I even made it a mental note to go out of my way and experience investors doing a fix and flip property. I'd want to go down there and meet him and see the property and see what he's doing. You know, investors giving me advice on do this, do that, and I'd just do anything I could to just absorb as much information and learn as much as I could as I went.
You ready for the best ever lightning round?
Yep.
All right, first a quick word from our best ever partners. If you're looking in the Big Apple for real estate, then go speak to Nicole Beauchamp. She's a previous best ever guest. It's episode number 312. She offers bespoke brokerage services for sellers and buyers of real estate in New York City and beyond. You can email her at nicole.beauchamp, B-E-A-U-C-H-A-M-P, at evusa.com. Best ever book you've read?
Millionaire Fastlane by MJ DeMarco. That was probably one of my favorites and one of my most memorable books. It talks about your sidewalk, slow lane, and fast lane. And you can choose different paths to, well, and it's a really good one. I recommend it to anyone.
Best ever personal growth experience, and what'd you learn from it?
A duplex that I bought in South Phoenix. Really, really rough area. It was actually a triplex at first when I bought it, and all three tenants just dipped out on me. It was a huge headache. I've learned a lot from it, and I converted it to a duplex and ended up selling it last year. And overall, the experience was just, I learned a lot. I made a lot of mistakes, but I ended up profiting in the end. So I wouldn't trade it for anything.
What's the best ever deal you've done?
That would be my rental property right now that I own. I bought it in 2011, I believe, for $32,000. 4 years later, I had it appraised at $132,000. And I guess you could say I was in the right place at the right time. But I've always believed that luck is being the right person in the right place at the right time. And I took the action, and it's so far been the best deal I've ever done.
What's the best ever way you like to give back?
Touching on the mentor subject I did earlier, I would say that I am willing to give back by coaching and teaching newbies that are getting into wholesaling. And I'm happy to sit down with anyone that truly wants advice and wants to learn. And I'd be happy going over anything with them and sharing my experiences and my wisdom. And if that can help them, then that's how I look at giving back.
What's the biggest mistake you've made so far in real estate?
I would say the biggest mistake would be probably follow-up. I've missed out on a lot of deals by not being consistent with my follow-up, but I would say it's only a failure if you don't learn from it. So I've really been consistent with my follow-up, and I've really learned to just stay on top of leads until they're completely dead. So that would probably be my biggest mistake in the early stages, not following up correctly.
What's the best place the best ever listeners can reach you?
LinkedIn. You can go check me out under Will Corey or Spencer's Investing LLC. You can give me a call, 602-909-6817, or shoot me a text. My email is spencersinvesting@yahoo.com. I'd be happy to help anyone out or connect with anyone in the game and learn from them. So feel free to reach out to me if you like.
And why don't you have a website?
I don't have a website because I feel that I did have it one few years back, and I used to use it to update my property. Every time I got a new wholesale deal, I would quickly go to the website and I would update it with the information. And I found that a lot of these deals were being sold like within a day or two, and it got to a point where I wasn't even updating the website. So I don't use the website to convert traffic either. I usually do the traditional ways of signs, direct mail, but it just got to a point where I wasn't really utilizing the website, and so I just got rid of it.
I love that fresh approach. You don't typically find that someone, a wholesaler in particular, doesn't have a website, but you still are leveraging the power of social media and the internet, obviously, by using LinkedIn and having that as a way to build up your potential buyers list. Well, thank you so much for being on the show, Will, and really appreciate you spending time with the best ever listeners and myself. I enjoyed hearing about your unique 1-2 punch for how you do investor outreach. First, you get on the phone and you call a select number of investors, which it reminds me of people who make a conscious effort to stay in touch with 50 or so of the individuals who they want to stay in touch with in their life. So they put them in a spreadsheet and they just find a way to stay in touch and touch base with them. And then the second approach is what everyone else does, and that's sending out an email to your database. I love that personal touch because it definitely, I know, it builds the rapport and the relationship with the investors that you have, and it allows you to not only send them deals and get more transactions done, but then get more referrals, and I'm sure more business has come out of it and perhaps even leads by taking that approach. So thanks so much for being on the show. Hope you have a best ever day, and we'll talk to you soon.
Well, thank you, Joe. I appreciate it, and I'm happy to connect with all your best ever listeners. So thanks for the time and the interview, and I'll talk to you soon, Joe.
If you're looking in the Big Apple for real estate, then go speak to Nicole Beauchamp. She's a previous best ever guest. It's episode number 312. She offers bespoke brokerage services for sellers and buyers of real estate in New York City and beyond. You can email her at nicole.beauchamp, BEAUCHAMP, at EVUSA.com.